How can anyone, whether they want to work in a language school or privately from their own laptop anywhere in the world, create a rewarding and impactful career teaching English as a second language, even if they are just starting out or have no teaching experience or ability? Hi, my name is Lynette Kim, and here on the TESOL Talk podcast, I aim to answer that very question.
In my early years teaching English as a second language overseas and in Australia, when I've gone for job interviews, I have been asked some interesting questions, and some of them a bit left of centre that I wasn't expecting. So, like, for example, I remember in Korea being asked by a school, what was my philosophy of teaching? And I'm like, wow, it's not something that you really think of. I've determined my philosophy and I've written it down and that's it, you know. It was just one of those things. And I actually started out teaching without having a TESOL certificate first. So this was something I actually hadn't come across. And I remember just saying that my philosophy is to put the students' needs first, focus on the students, and make sure that I was giving them the best, you know, learning that I could. And luckily for me, that was fine, but it really wasn't, you know, something I'd prepared for. Another thing that I got asked, and again, this was overseas, was what TESOL methodology do I use? Mm-hmm. Now, if you haven't done a TESOL course, you're like, TESOL methodology? What's that? But yes, so I winged it again in this case, but I mean, I don't suggest doing that. And I just talked about how maximum talk time for students and getting them to do lots of speaking practice and lots of conversation. And actually, I was really lucky because this is the communicative approach, which is part of TESOL methodology. So again, you know, doing that, I got through. But this is, again, why it's important to know these things and to have a solid basis of TESOL training when you're before you apply for jobs. So these things, they absolutely do get asked. Another one I got asked, and this was in Australia now, I was asked what I thought of certain ESL course books, so my opinion on them. And to be honest, I hadn't seen a lot. I mean, the average ones you see is New Cutting Edge, Headway, Face to Face, and, you know, just a few like that, and Overseas Side by Side, and obviously Murphy's Grammar Book, which is the Grammar Bible, Grammar in Use. So it was a bit hard, but I was really lucky in this instance because the person interviewing me actually brought up one of the books, which was Face to Face, I think, and asked me what I thought of it. And at the time, it really was a series that needed to be updated, and the pictures were a bit dated and it wasn't very modern, and it was just a lot on the page, a lot happening. And I said, it's not one of my favorite books. It has a lot of information in it, but I just don't like the layout. I just don't like the way it's taught. I feel like it's messy. And luckily for me, this particular person interviewing me, the academic manager, actually thought the same. I mean, it was probably just really obvious to everybody, and that's why it wasn't luck, but that's one of the things I got asked. So it is important if you're going to go for a job that you really, really want, or any job, because, you know, you're putting yourself out there, have a look at some course books. Make sure that if you're new, go, like I've said before, go to scribd.com and subscribe, because once you do, you can go in there and you can go through and you can type in ESL course books and look at a range of them and know in your mind, yes. And also think of it from the perspective, how am I going to teach these? Because in a job interview, you could get asked this sort of thing. Now, another thing that I was asked, and again, this was here in Australia, how would I handle classroom management issues? Now, there are so many classroom management issues. what do you do? But I just stuck to, you know, what the training is. And because by this time I was TESOL trained and qualified, and I said I'd stick to whatever the school's policies were. And if there is an issue with a disruptive student, I would make sure to give the class something to do and just ask that student to step out of the classroom and just ask them how they're going. Is something wrong? Ask them if they'd like to speak with someone. You know, just take a moment. You know, and so obviously this fits within policies and guidelines, and so that's fine. So, but my point here is just be aware you could be asked these questions on the fly. And even though really you know the answer in a job interview, naturally everyone's a bit nervous and it's hard to come up with these answers. So it's really important to prep yourself and think about questions like this, like, you know, what I might be asked, and if you were interviewing someone, what you would ask, and just have answers ready. Now, another thing that I got was in job interview in Australia again, the academic manager said to me, you know, about how he'd had a class and how he had gotten the students who were all new and they were adults to get to know each other. And and that was good. And he said he got them all to say each other's names and pronounce them correctly and meet each other, which is very nice. He looked at me and he said, well, what would you have done? And so I was like, oh, okay, now I've put myself on the spot. But luckily for me, I have my own policy about getting new classrooms to gel together. So the first thing I do is I get them all to have a discussion, introduce themselves, so that we're all as a class meeting like it's like a members group or a club. So we all chat, meet each other, ask each other questions. And then what I immediately do is I tell them we're splitting the class into two and I mix up all the students so that, you know, different nationalities are with different nationalities, and we're going to be working in teams for the whole week, and thereafter we'll do teamwork, and it's a competition, and at the end of the week there's going to be this fantastic prize, which is a big secret, but everything you do, you've got to help your fellow students in your team, and you've got to get points for your team, and if anyone's disruptive then they lose points for their team. And, you know, automatically, you know, team spirit jumps in. People love sports, people like teamwork, and, you know, they were all talking, helping each other. They were working hard in their, you know, teams of students to try. And the whole class was gelled. And then the next week, what you do is you split those teams up and you mix them up so that they're working with different students and different teams. Before you know it, after a month, everyone knows everyone really well. You've just got to keep going with those team activities and games and competitions. But obviously the manager was happy with that because I did get the job. But just be aware, you can get asked these things on the fly. Now, another question I got, this was my hairiest question, was in a job interview in Australia. And I had two people in the job interview, the academic manager and someone else. I don't know why. Very interesting. I hadn't found that before. And they asked me, how would I deal with an intermediate level student in class asking about passive tense and active tense, verb tenses. So how would I explain to conjugate or to put the active tense into passive tense or vice versa for intermediate level students? And I'm like, wow, because, you know, up until fairly recently, when I was teaching before this job interview, I'd always had a thing with passive tense. It drove me crazy, you know, and I know in class I'd made occasional mistakes with it. So it was one of those things I was determined to nail it and get it right. So I was really fortunate because as soon as he said it, I'm like, ha ha, yeah, passive tense, I know you, I gotcha. But it was interesting because when he asked me to do it, he said, don't worry, because I went to answer straight away. And he goes, oh, no, don't worry, take your time. You'll need time to answer. I said, no, I don't. It's perfectly fine, intermediate level. And what I would do is I'd put up an active tense on the board. We'd talk about the active tense and we'd look at the structure of the sentence. And then we would then look at how we would alter that sentence to make it passive. And I'd write a passive sentence below it. And I'd say, okay, what's the difference between the two sentences? What makes this passive and why is this active? And then, you know, talk about the action, who it's happening upon and so forth. And it was really interesting because they were actually surprised that I could answer it straight off the bat and level appropriately. See, that's why you have to have the two sentences on the board. It has to be visual. They have to be able to see that. They can't just remember it in their head at intermediate level, because that's your 50-50 level. They understand 50% of what you as a teacher are saying, if they're lucky, and you understand about 50% of what they're saying, because they're not so lucky yet. They're still making a lot of mistakes. So quite interesting. So my point here is, be prepared. Know that you could very likely get some very interesting, hairy questions, and have an idea. And in a good TESOL course, like in our course, we have the job support or the job guidebook, and we list how to prepare yourself for a job interview. And there are a list of different questions that you could be asked in there, and you really need to go through those. But also, you could chat to other teachers on forums, ask them what they've been asked before, and also, you know, just think about it yourself. But definitely, this is important and one of those areas that you should always be very well prepared for in a job interview.